It was something, there was a song when we were singing Jesus, Joy of the Highest Heaven. There was a statement that just stood out to me. And that's kind of what we're looking for in our message today. It's the line, Jesus laid in a lowly manger, facing a world of dangers. Come to turn me, come to turn me. A stranger, come to turn me, comma, a stranger into a child of God. This has stood out to me. We want to become, I mean, we are, in essence, if you're a believer in Christ, you are a child of God. There's nothing about, but what does he do in our lives that brings us a fragrance, which we'll be talking about today? What does he do in our lives that causes us to become a child of God, and how we are and the effect that we have in our lives? And that's what we're going to talk about. I stole someone's music. I'll put it back. There we go. But anyway, thank you for joining us today. Thank you to those who are online watching. We are going to look at, this is sort of a year-end message, I would say. And, when you look back, you think to yourself, what was my year like? And you start to think, was this what we would call a good year, a bad year, an okay year, a boring year, I'm glad it's over year, one of those years? And, I mean, when you look at years, and you look back, you can say, well, I started my year in the hospital. That's how I began my year this past year. But do we decide out of events that happen in our years that we write the year off? We still have a few days left of this year. We don't know what God's going to do in this year. And we don't want to write off a year because God's doing things, even though it may not seem like it. Even though sometimes it's difficult, God is still doing things and working out things and working in us and causing a lot to happen. So your year is not a waste. It's a God-given year. Each day is not a waste. They're God-given days. New mercies every morning. God is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. So we want to look at some things today. The title of this message is The Spice of Life, and we want to look at a particular passage that Paul shared with the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians. So I'm going to read that, and then we'll pray, and we'll see where God takes us in this morning. So let's read verses 12, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17 in 2 Corinthians. Verse 12 says, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there, so I took leave of them and went to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance of death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for all these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak Christ. Now, we could go in a lot of directions in this passage because we could talk about Bible peddlers. We could talk about all kinds of things here. But there's something specific. See, God made us sensory people. This was his creation. It was his purpose. And in God's word, he talks about sensory things a lot. Why does he do that? Because we catch it. We understand it better. We understand that he's talking about smells or tastes or what we see or what we touch, what we feel. Those different things, God made us that way. And there are certain things, we'll go into some of these in a little detail. We're not going to cover everything today. I could last till the end of the year. We could make a message last that long. We could bring food in. I don't know. But there are certain things in Scripture that really tell us something about how God, what God likes as far as the smell goes. God likes the smell of something. And he's relating to us because we're smelly. No, we're smellers. We can smell. We have that ability to do that. Prayer is one of those things. Prayer, we'll get into that in a little bit. Repentance is one of those things. Sharing the gospel is a sweet fragrance to the Lord. And acts of love. And we're not going to go into every one of those, but those are some of the things that gives you the idea. Now, being the year end, we start to evaluate our year. We start to evaluate ourselves, I think, sometimes a little more than that. So I think we need a biblical, at least I need a biblical perspective of life and purpose as we come into a new year. So I need that, and since you have to listen to me, you're a captive audience, and you got to listen to what I have to say. But it's sort of a spiritual checkup. I was originally going to call this a spiritual maintenance sermon, something that we would maintain to get us ready for 2026. And we could say that this is a spiritual maintenance part one. And you know how sequels are? They usually take years, and they're not usually as good. So this is it, spiritual maintenance part one. I want to share this, my main point this morning. And Paul gives us a picture into how our lives and circumstances can have a spiritual impact on those around us. Let me try to read that again. Paul gives us a picture into how our lives and circumstances can have a spiritual impact on those around us. Our lives impact other people. God shows us that. He tells us that. He prepares us for that. Our lives are made for that. And often we don't understand it. Often we kind of take things for granted. Oftentimes we just kind of let life flow by and we miss things out. So let's dive in here. The first point is the situation is not as planned. And this is verses 12 through 13. We're going to look at that. Paul, in these verses, he says, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though the door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. Now you think about this, and you think about Paul, and if you do any reading and studying about Paul's life, he had lots of things happen to him. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was arrested, he was all kinds of things. Stoned. All kinds of things happened to Paul. This is one particular thing. But it didn't even seem like that bad one. He just didn't feel right. There was something wrong in his spirit. He just didn't feel like things were going quite right. Now, we all have plans, and we all look at, you know, our year and how it went, how last week went, how yesterday went. And we say, did that go the way I wanted it to go? We hope that things are going to go a certain way, that our plans that we put, we hope they will, but they don't always. It's just the way it is. If we look at all the people's lives in this church and you look at all that happened this past year, you would say, wow, I didn't plan that. That's something I didn't want to go through. I mean, there was, and Bauer mentioned it last week, there was sickness, there was unsuspected job losses, there were deaths of loved ones and family members. There were just numerous things, caring for other people that needed to be cared for. Numerous things that happened. A lot of times we start a day and we think that everything looks right. everything's in place, the door is open, and then all of a sudden we're going, wait a minute, that doesn't feel right. There's something not right here. What's going on? Paul said, you know what, I feel like I should go to Macedonia. Sometimes we feel like we should go here. And even though things look good, if something's missing, or something's unsettled and not at rest, we have to start to look at that and question, what is the thing that's going on? Now, Paul traveled a long way to go to Macedonia, but he had a way of handling change. He didn't say, oh, I don't know, how many of you have ever like taken the wrong exit on a highway and you go, oh. You're driving in Boston and you're driving down the in an area and you're going, I think I'm supposed to go here. And for some reason, which is my problem, you can't tell your right from your left and you take a left instead of a right. And you go, oh, and you think, this is horrible. This is terrible. I mean, we feel uncomfortable. We have to deal with those things. You see, the thing about Paul is he never gave up. He trusted God. God was in the center of his life, every aspect of it. And I think we can do that. We can say, oh, well, we're busy. We're in the secular world. We have lots of things to do. But no, God wants to be in the center of that. And he wants us to trust God. You know, there are these things that are pleasing to God that I mentioned, like prayer. That's a big deal to God. Prayer is a big deal. In Revelation 5:8, it says, and when he had taken the scroll and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. See, when we focus on these things that God has, they're good to focus on, and they're good for us to focus on. Psalm 141:2, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, something that smells good. Let that be incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. See, communication, God uses the term in our passage about the fragrance. He's talking about how we communicate and work with God, how our lives that he is working in us affects other people. Communication with anyone is a good thing. Communication is good. Communication in marriage is good. Communication at work is good. Have you ever sat down with someone and go, wow, that was a good talk? That was just an enjoyable talk. And then you turn around and you know somebody that you're not speaking to. And it's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's kind of a dead-in-the-water relationship. It's deteriorating relationally. It's at a standstill. It starts to stagnate. See, I don't want my relationship with God to turn into what sometimes can happen with people. It shouldn't happen with people, but well, that's another story. Our relationship with God has to be ever-growing. Communication with God will prepare us for the things ahead, whether they're smooth paths or whether they're not. It helps to prepare us. So we talk to God, and we work with God, and we enjoy him, and he enjoys us. And it is a time in the heavens where our prayers are like incense. Now, that doesn't mean he says, oh, Dave's praying, I can smell him. That's not what he's saying. But there's something special about the prayers. The other aspect of repentance is changing. You're going in this direction, and you stop, and you go in the opposite direction where you're supposed to be going. Repentance and prayer go together very well, and they help us in our relationship with God. Now, we want to make one thing clear on God in your life. If you're just living the way you want, If you're just living your life the way you are, this, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, I don't care who it is, if you're just living your life the way you want and then expect God to help you out when you're going through tough times, it's not going to work the same way. You're not going to feel the same sense that this is my God. It's more of a desperation of hanging on to something. It's probably not going to go as planned. If you look to God as a life preserver only, if he is just your life preserver, if he is just your fire insurance, whatever you want to call it, when trouble comes, you're going to be missing out in the fullness of what God has for you. Because the trouble is a time to draw near to God, not just to say, get me out of this. That's what trouble does. Is there anything or anyone in your life this year that you want to see change in? First, check your heart. Check your motivation. If God is still missing in that, then we need to repent. That's what repentance is. We go, no, God, I'm going to stop ignoring you, and now I'm going to pay attention to you. That's part of repentance right there. When I came to know the Lord, I repented of my sin. I said, Lord, you get me out of this, I'll serve you forever. You save me, I will serve you forever. You forgive me, I will serve you forever. And my life changed. And it changed in the opposite direction. Praying and asking forgiveness, then ask for help, is a big thing, because we can't do it alone. That is something that we can't do. But when Paul was changing and shifting and going to Macedonia, what does he say? He says, but thanks be to God. But thanks be to God. Paul's an example, even in the uncertainty of things going on, he says, thanks be to God. Verse 14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. This wasn't just Mr. Positivity. That's not what he was. He wasn't confident. Paul wasn't confident. You know, where did he get that? He wasn't confident just because, oh, well, he was a soldier at one time. And he had discipline and he had that put into him. No, I don't think that's what it is. He studied under Pharisees. He was a Pharisee. Do you think all that training and studying and all of that did that? No, I don't think that's what it was. I think that brought him to a legalistic place in his life. I think it put things into his life that he had to undo, that God had to undo in his life. It was his relationship with Christ. Paul's life changed totally around when he met Jesus. That's what God does in people's lives. So Paul wasn't thrown by his change of direction. He wasn't thrown by the change of plans because he knew God's got something in him. He reminds himself that God is there. Apart from our lives, it doesn't matter how things look. If God is in the center, whether difficult or smooth, things will go the way they should. There's something to being sure of what you believe. Because if you're not sure what you believe, you're always going to have these doubts. You're always going to have these questions in your mind. We need to be sure. We need to be certain. We don't just want to have a relationship with God as our backup plan, like I said earlier, as a lifesaver. In the back of our mind, things can get tough. And we just say, yeah, maybe I need God. See, it needs to be ongoing. Our relationship needs to be ongoing. It needs to be current. A relationship that grows, a relationship that continues. It's not something that we just put aside and put away for a rainy day when things are going tough. For example, and this is a poor example, because that's what I do, are poor examples. But most of you know I'm a juggler. I can juggle. I can juggle. At one time, I could juggle pretty much anything. You could give me anything and I could juggle it. I could juggle, you know, balls. I could juggle clubs. I could juggle torches. I could juggle machetes. I could juggle hatchets. I could juggle all these different things. See, I could juggle all kinds of different things. And I still have my machetes, and I still have my hatchets, and I still have all my fun things that I like to juggle with. And once in a while, because I haven't done it in a long time, once in a while I'll take something out. My relationship with my machete is not what it used to be. When I start juggling, I'm usually, you know, I don't want something landing on my foot, point down. That would not be good. It's that ever, you can't just pick it up and start again and think you're starting where you left off. Our relationship with God is that way. You can't just set God aside. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but anyway, it did to me. My relationship wouldn't be the same. My relationship with my juggling implements isn't the same as it was years ago. Our life with God is very similar to that. If you want to relate to God in a way that is active and responsive, utilizing the vast multitude of spiritual benefits that God has, it has to be ongoing. We can't put God in a theological closet just for when we need him. That's not what we need to be doing. It needs to be ongoing, communicating, a relationship. And you'll hear me say this probably till the day I die, that it is our relationship with God that can deepen and deepen and deepen your whole life. It is not just an acquaintance. It is something much more than that. The Lord is always leading. He is always working. The question is, are we paying attention? And that's where we need to go. And Paul says he leads triumphantly. He leads us triumphantly. I can go triumphantly with the Lord. The question is the Lord leading us as a fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere we go? Is the Lord leading us as a fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere we go? Which leads me to the last point, which is, how do you smell? How do you smell? Does your life stink? You know, you might say that. Does your life stink? That's a question that you have to ask yourself. Paul in verses, I'm going to read verse 14 again, 14 through 17. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. There's a lot in here, and we can't cover everything. But something good is worth having. We've just finished Christmas. We've had all our favorite little Christmas desserts and foods and everything. When we were preparing for Christmas and we were getting ready for everything, what are one of the things you bakers and cooks do, which I'm not one of those, but you gather all your ingredients together. You gather all the spices together that you're going to use. And you get a bowl and you throw all this stuff in there and you mix it up. I make it sound really easy. And you pour this thing in and that thing in and it comes out right. Anyway, for those of you that know what you're doing. And you start baking. You put it in the oven. And you're preparing maybe a dessert or a delicious holiday meal or something along that line. but you had all the ingredients. Everybody's tastes are different. I know that. I mean, I like the smell of fertilizer in a greenhouse, but, you know, that's me. But when you put all these things in a mixing bowl and prepare them and bake them, and the aroma starts to happen, first the kitchen starts to fill with this aroma that is familiar. And it's an aroma that starts to affect your taste buds. You start to salivate. I mean, this is me again. All these things you're waiting, this is gonna be something special. Fills the kitchen, then it moves to the other rooms. Rock made this year, this was the first time she did this. She got all these spices and fruits together and things like that, and she boiled them down and she cooked them, and she made them into what she said she found it somewhere. It's called Christmas jam. And I went, Christmas jam? That's cool. I got to try some of that. So when she made it, and I put it on my toast, it's like Christmas in your mouth. It is incredible. She's going to have to make this all year round. It won't be special anymore. She made like 6 jars of it. It's great. It's Christmas in your mouth. But the fragrance, the taste, the fragrance, the senses, the sensory aspect of things, God does. You know, here's another thing. If you're going on a date, or if you're going on a job interview, you don't spray on yourself eau de skunk. You know, that's not what you spray yourself with. You want to have a good sensory, pleasing effect on the people around you. There's something there. You want to be someone that is pleasant. Sharing the gospel is something that God found is very fragrant to him as we share the gospel. Acts of love is another thing. But remember this. One thing that God has given to us to have an effect on those around us is the aroma of Christ. He has given that to the Christian. We can get up on the smell aspect of this, and I don't want to get too caught up in that, but what Paul is referring to is the spiritual character that becomes a part of us. The spiritual Christ-like character, the spiritual behavior, not the stuff we work out, but there's something spiritual that happens and affects our lives. Paul says, as a living, active follower of Jesus, that this is something special, and it affects those around us. You know, it's we aren't like people selling something. If you look on Amazon or eBay, or everybody's selling, or even our TV, everybody's selling something that is supposedly going to improve your life. Your life is going to be better for this. Your life, I'll tell you what, if you spend $60 today, I'll tell you what, if you go on a subscription, you only have to spend $55 a day to get this wonderful thing that is going to improve your life. And Paul's saying there were people that were peddling the word of God. They were making money off it. They were doing something like that. The gospel is free. Scripture is free. What Jesus has for us is free. And too often, we think it's much more than that, and we've got to work up something because that's our mentality. That's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity isn't just a life improvement program. It's much more than that. Far better, far more real. It's something sincere It's life-giving. It's like a breath of fresh air is what it's like. What makes a Christian different? A Christian is different because Jesus came. He gave his life. He died for our sins so that whosoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And everlasting life, in my opinion, doesn't start at physical death. It starts when you become born again. That's when you're... The end of your physical life is a transition. That's all that is. And it's important to realize that. But the people that Paul talks about, when it's a fragrance from death to death, they have no life, and they're entering into no life. But if it's life to life, the Christian having a fragrance that is causing others to say, I want that. That is a breath of fresh air in my life. That is meaningful. God provides passages in Scripture that help us to see this, and it's not always fragrance, but sometimes it's taste, or sometimes it's things like that. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, and we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which we bring the fruit of the Spirit up a lot, but it says here in verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fragrance that Christians give off is not something under a law. In other words, it's not something you can do. It's not something you can work up. It's something that God is doing through you. And it's important for us to see that. As I mentioned before, prayer, repentance, sharing the gospel, acts of love, those are a sweet fragrance to the Lord. How do we have this? How can we do this? Well, you can't spray it on. You can't spray these things on. It doesn't come on as a roll-on. I'm sorry, it just doesn't do that. It's something that's given. When you think of these spiritual fruit, you can't do this yourself. It grows out of a relationship with God. That's where it comes from. It's not, well, I got to be more loving. What can I do to be more loving? Oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, and we make this list. No, it's a relationship with God, an embracing of the gospel. I was visiting someone not too long ago, and we were talking. We were both going through the same trial. And we were sitting there just talking. This person, as we were talking about it, they were very worried, fearful, tense. And we're just talking together, and I'm just talking along, and they're looking at me, and they said, why are you so peaceful? Why aren't you worried? Why aren't you intense? Talking to you is so calming. They said, what is it? And I said, well, that's God doing something in my life. That's not me. That's something that I know that God is in control, and God is the one who has the main purpose and goals for my own life, and I'm just going to trust in him. See, spiritual fruit are a benefit of being a Christian. Think about it, peace. How many want peace? How many of you want peace? There's only one person in this place that wants peace. Come on. Yes. I have you raise your hand so you wake up. That's the only reason why. Joy. Isn't it nice to have joy? Isn't that, these are things that God gives. Patience. You live in Massachusetts. We need patience. We've got to have patience. That's a witness. You're patient with somebody? You go to the grocery store or something like that, and you tell someone that, oh, go in the line ahead of me. I have no place to be right now. Wait, go ahead. And they look at you like you have three heads, but they're grateful. There's something that causes them to say, wait a minute, what is this strange thing? Is this an alien that's coming to this planet? Kindness. Yeah, we need kindness. And you go through the list, you just go, yeah, that's what I want. You know, a lot of people visit our church. They think we're the most friendly people they've ever met on the face of the earth. They think this is a friendly church. You guys are really nice, I have to admit. But is it your doing or is it God's doing? What's God doing in your life? I'd rather have God working through me than me saying, yeah, I'm just a friendly guy. You know, that's not the goal. It's to give off something that says, you know what, God is in this place. God is doing something. This is something that's hitting me. We got to give credit where credit is due. It's God. And it comes from that effect that the Lord has on our lives, which is what we want to continue to have going and flowing. It's the sweet fragrance to those who visit, to those we meet, and to those God leads us to talk to, whatever. My hope for this year is that it would be fragrant. It would be a stinking good year. That's what I want my year to be, a stinking good year. It would be fruitful, that we would experience joy and peace, even when things get tough. The key to all this isn't to try harder, to strain, or to be more organized, like I said, but it's to ask the Lord to build these things in us, to change what needs to be changed, and to build what needs to be built. We want to be used to bring the fragrance of Christ to the world around us, whether we know it or not. The world needs the gospel. This year, let's spice up our lives. Let God, the one who owns the spices, let the chief baker start putting into our lives what we need so that we can be the spiritual spice of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are all-powerful, all-knowing, that you work in our lives. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know how easily we are distracted. You created us. We are sensory beings, and we are distracted by so many things. But we ask, Lord, that you would help us to see you as the center, to see you as the provider, you as the changer, you as the molder of our lives, for the purpose of bringing glory to your name, to sharing the gospel with others so that others would have that fragrance from life to life. So Lord, we pray that you'll work these things in our hearts. Give us vision for this next year. And we pray, Lord, that even at the end, these last few days of this year, that you'll show us the value of the year that we have just lived out, that it is a good year and that you have crowned it for your glory. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.